everybody. How's it going? Hope you're having a lovely day. Today is just a rant because I've received many emails from people asking if I would go over the fact that there are car kill switches that are being put in. They want me to read about these car kill switches, and a lot of the emails that I'm receiving are asking why this is an issue that I have not covered. So let's go back through my channel a little bit. Should a car try to detect if you're drunk and disable the vehicle? November 2021. Car remote kill switch, another reason not to buy cars of the future. January 15th, 2022. I spent 20 minutes walking you through this thing from Congress, which apparently requires verification that I'm not a robot to read the laws of my own country. And I put timestamps here to make it as easy to understand as possible. A few months ago, I went over a politician that voted against this garbage, that was voted against in full, and he's also now being primaried in his own district for the crime of not being Epstein class first, and I guess not being sufficiently Israel first as well, Thomas Massie. And in addition to this, on this channel for a long time, I have gone over the fact that car manufacturers will pay people to say that if you have the ability to get access to the data in your car to be able to fix your car, that this hands the keys to China, North Korea, and Iran. I've also gone over many of Ford's patents back when my white balance was a little bit more on the reddish side, about them patenting the ability to lip read and emotion detect inside your car. We've also gone over on the channel the fact that a judge has ruled that it's legal for your car to retain all of your text messages and not provide you with a way to delete them, even if you want to sell the vehicle to somebody else. So your entire call history and all your text messages get stored in your car, and it is not a privacy violation that after spending $40,000 to $60,000 in the vehicle, that you can't delete them. And I've also gone over a lot of the nonsense that happened at National Highway Transit and Safety Administration when Right to Repair was passed in Massachusetts. And after several years of the judge asking for their input, NHTSA ignored them. And then once the judge finally said, okay, Right to Repair is allowed to go through, the judge sent out a notice to every major automaker saying, don't comply with it. I've been going over this in this channel for quite a long time. And the issue, what I find, is not that I don't go over the issue. It's that unfortunately nobody cares, and of the very few people that care, a even smaller number actually participate. It's something I noticed even in the video that I did yesterday. I explicitly said, here's the exact letter that you should write to your representative so you don't have to think of it. And then somebody said, I want to talk about this, but I don't know what I'm supposed to say to my representative. And it's like, and I don't want to victim blame, and I understand this sounds like victim blaming, but I literally dictated it in the video. I don't know what else there is to do at this point. I've really tried throughout the 14 years that I've had this YouTube channel to try and make people aware of the things that have been going on and also tell you what it is that you can do. What are the actionable things that you can do to push back against it? And what I find is that I am a member of about 1% of people who care about these issues. And of the 1% who care about these issues, there are about another 1% of them that will then go and take action. And I understand to some extent why this is the case. You know, I was reading an article in Bloomberg the other day. I forget if it was talking about Canada or the United States, but it was talking about how there used to be 8% of millennials live with their parents, and now it's 16% of millennials are living with their parents. And I remember many years ago, every now and then I do this thing just to remind myself why I need to keep my business in a job. And I remember reaching out to a resume coach, and I spent $500 or $1,000 to have the perfect resume crafted for about 500 different jobs that I had applied for across all different industries, like repair technician manager, marketer, search engine person, nonprofit stuff. I remember putting on here, like, raise millions of dollars for this nonprofit. Got to number one on Google for all these different search keywords in a very densely populated field. Manage repair company that did thousands and thousands of repairs with the best rating. And I applied for a number of things all across the spectrum. And over about 500 jobs, I heard back from one of them that was a rejection notice based on me not having a college degree. And a week later, I wound up getting a call from them, which I thought was funny. This was a nonprofit that I think had been collecting like $35,000 a year max. And I had put on mine, you know, like raised millions of this particular nonprofit and everything else. And they said, oh, I thought I was auto rejected. It's like, oh, yeah, that was the HR, must have been the auto emailer or a bot or something. And I'm like, well, who sets up the bot? Is it your company? He's like, well, yes, bot. And I'm like, well, I don't work for bigots. And I hung up. Point here is I realize if it's that hard for me, then what must it be like for normal everyday people that don't have the benefit of having 18 or 20 years of business experience, who don't have fame and celebrity and everything else? A lot of the people
we've been right.